Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Be praying for Greg as he flies back today. That sorry rascal got to go to New Hampshire in Boston. He's doing a Ford off-roading school yesterday. Saw the pictures on Facebook. They looked like a lot of fun. But first off, let me say, you ever had one of those days, you know, where nothing goes right? You're arguing with the wife. Kids don't want to talk to you. You get to work, somebody says something, and you just fly off the handle. There's a reason for that. See, I don't know if y'all know this. You should, but I don't know if you do. So if you don't, there's two kingdoms at war. We're not at war with each other, but we're at war in our spirits. If you'll hit that first slide for me, Robert. The scripture slide. There we go. So we're going to be in Ephesians 6. We're going to start in chapter 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with against flesh and blood," that's me and you, "but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over the present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Now here, Paul is pointing out Satan. So just like God and his divine counsel, Satan's got his counsel. We refer to those as demons. If you want a good tutorial on that, there's a short video series that the Bible Project puts out. You can watch those videos on YouTube. It explains how the fall of Satan, how evil wants to rear its head, wants to get into our lives. It's a very interesting documentary. I was going to put the QR code on screen, but I'll be honest, I forgot. So the spiritual warfare actually originated in the very beginning in Genesis. When the serpent came to Adam and Eve to eat the fruit from the tree of good and evil. In the scripture, the enemy is called many things. The evil one, the tempter, the devil. That's actually Greek for slanderer. Satan is actually his title, it's not his name. Satan is Hebrew for the adversary. Our enemy and his demons, their only job is to turn us away from God. And that's sin, the separation of us and God. So I'm gonna confess something to you this morning. I don't like preaching. It's not that I don't like getting up here and talking to you and seeing your smiling faces. I don't like preaching because leading in, the enemy attacks. A couple weeks ago, I could see the enemy at work in my family. And it's something small, it's something minor. There was one day where me and Cheyenne we couldn't see eye to eye. Again, my kids, for some reason, were mad at me, and I couldn't figure out why. I get to work, and everything just goes wrong. But that's the enemy at work. He's trying to separate us, divide and conquer. I didn't put this in my notes, so I didn't give Daniel a heads up on this, but last night, I think we had our best finish at Bowman Gray that we've had all year, fourth place. There were two times in that race that I made a mistake as a spotter. Now, I left last night after five people congratulating me on such a good job of being his spotter. I left with my head down and my tail between my legs. See, last night, there was a couple times that I screwed up, and the enemy made sure I knew it by the time I left the track. Now, I'm not standing up here telling you this to have an oh, woe is me moment. To be quite honest with you, I could come up here and tell you stories of how enemy attacked famous people, how enemy attacked other people. But I like telling you my story. When the enemy attacked me last night, he made sure I knew that those two things, very minute, could have been a big deal. And that's what he'll do. He'll come into you and he'll tell you, you know, somebody can say something, not even an offhanded comment. It could be actually a compliment. But by the time you walk away, the enemy's going to tell you that that wasn't a compliment. That's what he does. He hides in the back of your head. And he starts feeding you little thoughts. Robert, if you'll go to the next slide for me. Verse 13 and 14, it says, "There, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." So the first piece of armor that Paul gives us in this letter to Ephesians is the belt of truth. So what is truth? The Oxford Dictionary defines truth as that which is true or in accordance with the fact or reality. Or it defines it as a fact or belief that is accepted as true. Did you catch that? Belief. See, Tony Evans, the gentleman in the video that we watched a while ago, he had a great point. He defined truth as God's view on any subject. So please don't confuse with truth and facts. You hear people today in the world say, "That's my truth. That's my truth." But is that really the truth, or is that just facts? See, I know this little kid. True story. It's a gross story, so prepare yourself. He had an upset stomach. Diarrhea. Diarrhea for a week. So his mother goes to the pharmacy, to the drugstore, and buys him medicine to cure the diarrhea. Diarrhea didn't go away. It ensued. So the mother took the kid to the doctor. And the doctor said, "Oh no, he doesn't have diarrhea. He's backed up. He hasn't been going to the bathroom. He's been holding it." See, the fact is he had diarrhea. The truth is he really didn't have diarrhea. He was just stopped up. So Robert, if you go to that next slide for me. It says, "Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So I have to confess for you. You'll hear me do that a lot. The Holy Spirit showed up in this one. See, there's several ways that God will speak to you. He'll lay something on your heart. It'll be a feeling. Kind of comes with a thought. He'll actually can speak confirmation to you through other people. That's kind of how you know you're on the right track. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will speak directly to your heart. Now, I got a side shift here for a minute. You know, I told you, there's spiritual wounds, the enemies at work. I shared a story where the Holy Spirit spoke to me several years back on a men's retreat, the Heart of a Warrior. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But I shared with this guy that, hey, God spoke to me. He showed me this example. And his response was, God doesn't speak. He actually quoted scripture that if you go back and read, has nothing to do with really God speaking at all. But yet he spoke to me and said that God doesn't speak. There's the enemy again in the back of my head going, "God doesn't speak. That's just your own thoughts." But I'm here to tell you, when if you ever having an argument with yourself, it may not be yourself. Because see, God will speak to you. When I went through this verse here in verse 14, he showed up. As I was reading, trying to figure out what Paul meant by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, I heard a voice say, "Who is righteous?" Well, Jesus is righteous. In John 14, 16, and 17, Jesus said, And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Some translations say comforter. To be with you forever, even in spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells within you and will be with you. So here Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So when we trust in Christ as our Savior and we invite the Holy Spirit in, where does he dwell? He dwells in our heart. So what is the, let me back up for a second. Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Some translations actually say that it is life. It is your life. So what does the breastplate guard? Guard your heart. There's a reason why Paul put that in there. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. That's where your life comes from. You need to guard your heart. All right, let's move to the next slide. Ephesians 6:15. It says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. There's a reason why Scripture tells us to be slow to anger. See, many years ago, I was at work one day. I backed to my dock, got out of the truck, walked up, and started ringing the buzzer zzz, 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 to let me in. I can hear forklifts driving by. I hear people working. Nobody's opening the door. Zzz, 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 you know. Nobody's showing up. It's a 90-degree day. It's in the middle of July. I'm sweating bullets. Zzz, 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 you know, I'm buzzing the door, trying to get in. So finally, after standing out there for way longer than I should have, I easily could have walked to another door and walked in at that point. But no, I got to get in. So finally, I hear a forklift coming. And I start hitting that buzzer. Zzz, 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 and I hear it stop. Finally, somebody comes over and opens the door. And I walk in. I said, thank you. And I look. There's a guy sitting over here at the computer, been sitting there the whole time, just pecking away on the computer. Man, that just ran all over me. Enemies outside pressing my button while I'm pressing the button to get in. Man, I chewed him out. I let him have it. But see, there's a reason why we're supposed to be slow to anger. James 1, 19-20 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. So in that moment, was I producing the righteousness of God? I wasn't. Now, to complete the story, I knew that guy fairly well. I wouldn't say that we're buddy buddies, but we were friends. Every time I passed him through the warehouse, I'd say, hey, man, how's it going? We'd talk. Well, after that, he very rarely spoke to me again. So on that day, the enemy used me to now inflict pain on him. But what if it isn't anger? What if it's anxiety? Now, yesterday, this was after I wrote my notes, but yesterday, I went to the crossing over off of Union Cross. I had no clue what the video was going to be about that we were going to watch, what the Bible study was going to be about. We actually watched a video. It was a sermon from Mark Driscoll. He was doing a series on Elijah and the Ahab spirit and the Jezebel spirit. Now, I wish I'd have seen that video before I did my notes, because that video spoke to me in so many different ways because I knew I was doing this sermon today. He actually did this particular video was on anxiety and depression. And in my notes, I'll be honest, I just kind of glossed over anxiety. But anxiety can have the same effects as anger. Anxiety and depression can make you feel down, can make you feel broken. And the enemy can just eat that up. I'm not going to go as far to say, because I'm not an expert, to say that the enemy causes those things. And merely being saved in your faith will free you of that. But I will say, if you go through the Bible and you read, you will read stories of people, especially Elijah in 1 Kings, where he battled depression. He's being obedient to God. He's been threatened many times over. But for some reason, in this one passage, his life is threatened again. And he just throws up his hands and he runs and hides in the cave. I had here 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Robert, may I have that next slide? Ephesians chapter 6, 16, it says, "In all circumstance, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." See, a minute ago I told you a story about how I was quick to anger. When I walked in that door into the warehouse and I saw that guy sitting over on the computer, those flaming darts from the evil one, I started throwing them and throwing them and throwing them. If the tables were turned and he'd have yelled at me like that, you know what I'd have felt? I'd have felt hurt, guilt, and shame. We kind of got a little funny saying at the Heart of a Warrior weekend. It's called SHILT, shame and guilt. But when we turn our life to Christ and read his words, our faith grows stronger. Those flaming darts don't seem so bad. They burn less and less. But you know what I should have been doing instead of throwing those flaming darts? I should have been helping him build his faith up. I should have walked in that door. I should have shown compassion. I should have treated it different. But I didn't. And like I said, he very rarely spoke to me again. So that next slide, Robert. Next it says, take up the helmet of salvation. Now with this one, I sort of turned back to Tony Evans for a little help. And he made it so clear. He gave an analogy that I thought was so perfect. And if you're younger in the crowd, I'm sorry, this may not resonate with you. But I do recommend that you're checking this out on YouTube. You ever heard of the Beverly Hillbillies? So, you know how it goes. They started out in the hills. They were poor. Until one day, Jed was shooting at some food, and up from the ground came the bubbling crude, you know? That's right, Texas tea. So what happens next? The oil company comes in, they buy their property, sold it for millions. They move to Beverly Hills. I wanted to play the opening credits for you just to give you the visual. They're cruising, you know, down through Beverly Hills, driving their old jalopy. Granny's on the back, you know, rocking in her rocking chair. So, putting on the helmet of salvation. See, it changes your mindset. They moved to Beverly Hills and still acted like hillbillies. They swam in the cement pond, still tried to hunt food. Didn't need to, but they did because they didn't change their mindset. Although our heart has been redeemed, our flesh still wants to sin. As those evil thoughts enter our mind, here's where the helmet of salvation comes in. 2 Corinthians 10:5 gives it perfectly. It says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Take that thought captive to obey Christ." So when those thoughts enter your head, I wish I'd have known that. When I went and chewed that guy out, I have to say I was not in church at the time. Those of you who have heard my testimony, that's at the time when I was not going to church. My heart and mind was not focused on Christ. I was a believer, but I was not. See, if I'd have took those thoughts captive when I walked in the door, I wouldn't have been so eager to throw those flaming darts. Everything up to this point has been on the defense. The only offensive tool is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I can't recall how many times I've heard Pastor Greg say, it's important to memorize Scripture. When the enemy is attacking, start speaking Scripture, even if you don't know the whole verse. I'm going to give you a great example. I've got a couple buddies here today that y'all may have met. I doubt you have yet because they got here late. See, Johnny, I told you I was going to call you out. Johnny, what's your favorite Scripture?
Romans 8:28.
What does it say? Right. Does anybody else have a favorite Scripture they'd like to recite? I've got a few memorized, but I knew once I got up here I'd forget them. So I wrote them down. It's kind of cheating, I know. But hey, I'm in charge right now. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I purposely didn't include the whole Scripture. And there's a reason for that. As you go through and you memorize Scripture, you're not going to, especially when you get to some of the more lengthy ones, you're not going to be able to remember them all right off the bat. Take what sticks out. Keep it with you. See, I wore this t-shirt today for a reason. If you can't read the small print, it stands for Dangerous for Good. At the Heart of a Warrior Men's Retreat, they have a little store. They call it the Outpost. That's where I got it. If you take and you put on the armor of God and you wear it every day and you build your faith and you guard your heart, eventually you'll start seeing evil rise up. You'll start seeing it coming at you. You can take the Scripture, the sword of, what does it say? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can take that sword and you can start swinging. And you can watch the enemy start backing up. It doesn't matter if it's something that, you know, is relevant to the moment. All you got to do is say, the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All you got to do is say is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If the enemy's attacking you, that verse is totally not relevant. But you know it. And you'll see that it'll work. And it'll inspire you to learn more. It did me. Now, in closing, this might be the shortest sermon y'all might have ever had, but in closing, put on this armor. You won't regret it. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask Mariah to come up. If you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your blessings, for your grace, and your mercy. Lord, I fall short of your glory every day, but I know you're with me. I declare your presence. Lord, I ask that you go with us throughout the week. Help us be better stewards for you. Lord, I ask that you bind the enemy, because as you say, whatever's bound on heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever's loosed in heaven will be loosed on earth. Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being here. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.